That is good to be here with you this morning, church. I hope you feel that way as well. And we got some just seeing some good faces and some good faces we haven't seen in a while. And so I'm excited and I'm glad you're here. I'm excited for our baptism. I want to let you know this, as we have a baptism today, maybe that's something God has put on your heart. Maybe by the end of today you're thinking, I want to give my life to the Lord and I want to be baptized. We will find you a robe and we will find you a towel and we will put you under that water. I'm not kidding. We will. For absolutely sure, man. We don't stop people from making the decision for the Lord. We're going to be in John chapter 14 this morning. We've been going through these seven statements that Jesus makes, these I am statements. I am this. I am that. I am the bread of the life. I'm the living water. I am the resurrection and life. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the gate. And all these point to just his character and his deity. And I hope that these have been helpful for you. I hope they've been encouraging for you to remind you that the God that has your back is one of the most amazing gods in the world. Amen? Today, we'll be in John chapter 14, and we'll talk about another one. As we get there, I got to tell you, I am not a big city person. Do we have people here that like big cities? Good. Praise God for you. I don't mind them. They're just not, and it doesn't even have to be big cities. Sometimes I just don't like cities because you go into cities, and they have something that I just can't stand. I will not, someone said, if you're at home online, someone said people, and I will not comment on that. One-way streets. I loathe one-way streets, right? They just get under my skin, and they're not even in big cities. They're in Pasadena, which isn't like Los Angeles, but it's still a city, but you're driving somewhere, and you're like, that's where I need to go right there. Well, you can't turn left here. Why can't I turn left here? It's a one-way street. You're going to turn into oncoming traffic. Well, can't they all just stop for me? Like, it's right there. No, you can't go there. There's only one way. Well, can it be my way? Can all the other traffic change direction? I mean, no, you have to go make three more lefts or three more rights. Whatever you do, you can't go there now. You've got to go out of your way. And you're just like, are you kidding? Like, you almost want to just stop in the car. Everyone get out now and run over there. I'll park somewhere and I'll find you. Just go. One-way streets are just a nemesis to me. And I think I'm a pretty good driver. Like, I think I'm one of the best. I drove for Domino's Pizza in the 30 minutes or less era. So, you know, like, I've got it figured out. But, man, those one-way streets will just cripple you. Like, why do we do that? The regular, my city doesn't have one-way streets. You can go up and down Cerritos and Cotella and everybody's happy, right? Why can't we all just have two-way streets? Because there are some things that are just one way to get there. And sometimes that bothers me that there's only one way to get there and one way to do things. And so just kind of a question for you to ponder this morning. How do you feel when someone tells you you can't do it that way? Of course I can do it. No, you can't do it that way. Well, why do I have to do it? This is just the way. You don't get to do it that way. Does anyone like being told you can't do it that way? Good, no hands. If you're raising your hand at home, you're a liar. I'm kidding. We just let me accomplish it. No, there's only one way to do it, and you're doing it the wrong way. And we don't like that kind of feeling. Today, as we jump into John chapter 14, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. It is probably one of the most critical and yet controversial teachings that Jesus gives. Critical because it's critical towards salvation and just the nature of who God is. Controversial because Jesus says this, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How many ways is there? One way. Come on, Jesus, but it's just right there. There's one way. And Jesus is the way. And I'll let you know that statement offends people. How dare you tell me that there's only one way, that I can't get there on my own? I'm not telling you that. It's red letter. It's what Jesus said. It's what Jesus taught. It's the plan that God laid out from the beginning. That he has a plan for all people to come into relationship with him. But the way to get there is only through Jesus. And so that's kind of what we want to talk about this morning. And Jesus is going to go into that with his disciples. And the reason I love this passage is I think it just gives a glimpse into the amazing heart of who our God is and what's going on there. Because the disciples are going to be in a little bit of angst, and we'll talk about that. They're just kind of like panicked a little bit. And you're going to see Jesus says in the beginning of chapter 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled." What does that tell you where the disciples are at? Troubled. When Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled," he's not saying that on a whim. He's saying that because, look, he's like, "Hey, guys, don't let your hearts be troubled. Relax." And he's going to go into this idea that I'm the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. And so, you know, as we look at that and as we think about that, there's this great joy in following Jesus, but it's a hard road to follow because there's one way. His way. It's not a blend. There's not two ways or three or four ways to, it's his way. And that's what faith is. It's surrendering to his lordship and letting him call the shots. And so as we do that, this kind of the bottom line for this morning is this, because we're talking about the disciples being in despair. Despair deepens when we're lost. When we're lost and we can't find our way, despair grows more and more and more. But belief brings relief. Amen? Despair deepens when we're lost, but belief will bring relief. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. If you wouldn't mind, if you can, as we read from God's word, if you would stand with us as we read this morning. Just a few verses, chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. If you can't stand, we understand that, and that's okay. We just give God's word the place of authority here this morning. And this is God's word for this morning. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Let's pray, church. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for what Jesus is going through with his disciples right now. And I thank you for this teaching he gives to comfort them, but to remind them of who he is. And not just for them, but for us 2,000 years later, here we sit in a room reading these same words. And God, I pray that these words would be a guide and a light for us, that they would be a joy and a comfort to us, that we would come to the conclusion that you alone are the way and the truth and the life. Lord, have your way this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, church. There's a lot going on in chapter 14. Actually, John chapters 13 through 17 are some of the most incredible chapters that you can read in the Bible. And we'll talk about that a little bit. And I would say if you're ever feeling down or discouraged or despairing or burdened or just overwhelmed, come in and read these four chapters of John, four or five chapters, because the picture of who God is in this story is absolutely amazing. His love for his disciples and his love for people, not just his love, but God's love for people. Because in John chapter 13, Jesus is having the Last Supper with his disciples. And in that chapter, he says, "Hey, so you guys know, this is a great dinner. One of you is going to betray me tonight. Peter, just so you know, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny you know me three times. Hey, guys, I'm leaving. And where I'm going, you can't come." Like, they're panicked. Like, wait, Jesus, what do you mean? What do you mean someone's going to? None of us would ever think about betraying you. And Jesus, that's Peter. Have you seen the things? Peter would never deny knowing you. But wait, what do you mean you're going to leave us? I thought you were going to start this kingdom. I thought, we all believe that. Well, where are you going? And so when you get to chapter 14, you begin to understand, let not your hearts be troubled. Because they're troubled. Like, Jesus, I thought we were just having a great dinner over here. And you're like, you just dropped the bomb. Like, food fight. Like, what just happened? I'm panicked. And Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. And what's the solution Jesus gives to trouble? Believe in God. And believe in me. That's it? Sounds a little too simple, doesn't it? You're telling me my worries and anxieties and fears and burdens would go away if I would just believe in God and believe in Jesus? How does that work, Jesus? I believe. They're still there. Like, how does it work? And the way Jesus just works through this passage, like, I know you guys are upset. I know you're troubled. Believe in God, but believe in me. I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I were lying to you, I wouldn't tell you that. But it's true. And when I'm done, I'm going to come back and get you and I'm going to take you to where I'm going. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. But Jesus, that's great. That's great. You're going to go prepare a place for us. But how does that help? Why should I believe that? Because I'm the way and I'm the truth and I'm the life. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. How does belief bring relief? Because it's putting our faith and trust in a God who is the way and the truth and the life. And that's what Jesus is getting at with his disciples. And he just is loving on them, and he's just so gentle with them. And I love it. And just the whole, as he works through this, is just an amazing passage. And I love Thomas because he's like, God, we don't know where you're going. And we give Thomas so much flack sometimes that he's doubting. But Thomas is asking the questions that you and I all have in our heart. Where are you going? We don't know where you're going. Thomas, I've got you covered. I've got this covered. You can't see it now, but I'm bigger than everything else that's going on. Believe in me. And there's this gentleness, there's this love in Jesus. And he gets to this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to tell you what separates Jesus from everything else, the biggest word in this passage that is repeated over and over is the most critical word. And it's a simple word. It's the definite article. The is the biggest word in this passage. And you think, how is the biggest word in this passage? Truth is bigger. It's two more letters. Way is the same, okay, but believe is bigger. How is the biggest word in this passage? Because Jesus is pointing to who he is. He is not a way. He is not a truth. And he's not a form of life. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. Funny thing, as you think about that, we have a lot of fans in here that are fans of USC school, and they're much better than UCLA football, and I admit that, even though I like the Bruins. But one of the schools that USC people can't stand is Ohio State, right? But if you ever listen to people, like if you watch the NFL and guys get on there, and they're from Ohio State, and they're thinking like, my name is Jordan Peters, I'm a tackle, I'm from the Ohio State. You're like, oh, like the Ohio State. Is there another Ohio State that I didn't know about? But if people go to Ohio State, it is the Ohio State. Am I right? Can anyone confirm that? Google it. It's for real. It's not just any Ohio State. I'm from the Ohio State. I'm the real deal. Jesus is the way. Not a way. He's the way. He's not a truth. He is the truth. And he's not just a life. He is the life. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, of what that looks like, what that means for us, what that meant for his disciples, and what Jesus is saying about himself. And so as we work through this, here's the first thing I want you to see. When Jesus says, I am the way, he's talking about something that is exclusive and yet inclusive all at the same time. How can something be exclusive and inclusive all at the same time, Pastor? That doesn't make sense. How many different ways to the Father are there according to Jesus? One. You know what that makes it? Exclusive. There's not another way. There's not a tram up the backside of the mountain. There's not the people mover to get you through. There's not a train that goes around Disneyland. There's the way. Exclusive. There's no other way to get to the Father except through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? You with me so far? And yet, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have eternal life. Amen? Whoever believes in him. There is an exclusive way, but whoever, inclusive, believes in him would not perish. So it's a beautiful thing about how God works. There's an exclusivity, but there's an invitation for all to be a part of it. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 says this. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Anybody can come onto the narrow path, but it's hard. You're invited to come there. You're invited to walk on that path, but it's not easy, right? It's challenging and it's difficult. Anybody can walk on the wide path, but where's the wide path going to lead you? Death and destruction. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Few find it, I think, because few actually want to walk it. Because to walk the path that leads to life means surrendering your rights and letting God be the one that's in charge and letting God call the shots. Letting God say, you can't do it that way. What do you mean I can't? There's one way. How can there only be? It's right there. There's only one way. But I can just turn left. You can't just turn left here. There's one way. And that's through my son. Think of it this way. And I'm going to ask you this question, and I expect an answer from you. What is the best way to prepare chicken? Edible. Good. Yeah. Not in sushi form is what you mean. Good. What's your favorite way? What's the best way to eat chicken? Okay, let's go one at a time instead of all at once. What is it? Rub? Like I'm bad in hearing because I'm a musician.
Deep fried.
Deep fried. Yes. Breaded and deep fried chicken. Delicious. Chick-fil-A. What else?
Barbecue.
Roasted. Tacos. Grilled. Smoked. With the dry rub or with sauce? Right? What about chicken Alfredo?
Ooh.
None of you have gone to chicken pot pie because that's just delicious. And then some of you are going, why are you all eating chicken? Like, vegetables are delicious too, and they are delicious. So maybe some ways the best way to eat chicken is to not eat chicken. The point is this, we all have different ways that Brian, if you want the best chicken, you've got to cook it this way. But what if I don't like it that way? What if I like it this way? My wife went to a fast food restaurant, and she always tries to eat healthy. I don't care about healthy. And so I won't tell you the name of the restaurant, but we went to Raising Cane's, and and their crinkle cut fries. The chicken to me is okay, but their sauce, like, oh God. So anyway, she's like, can I just get like a regular chicken breast, non-breaded? I don't want I don't want it to be so fatty. I just want it to be like nice and healthy, right? And they're like, I think we can do that for you. Do you know how Raising Cane's will cook your chicken breast so that it's healthy? They deep fry it. They've taken the health completely out of it at that point. So when it comes to cooking, there's so many different ways that we can cook things and prepare things and make it great. And there's all these preferences, and it's beautiful. But when it comes to salvation, there's not all these different ways that we can prepare it and serve it up. There's one. It's great however you like your chicken prepared. But there's one way to the Father, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. He is not a way to the Father. He is the way to the Father. And that is hard to hear sometimes. Thomas says, Jesus, we don't know the way. And Jesus says, Thomas, I am the way. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me, because belief can bring relief, Thomas. Second thing Jesus says is, I am the truth. I'm the way, but I am the truth. And the way I put that he is the standard unit of measure. And what do I mean by standard unit of measure? There's a way that we rate things, or we scale things, or we weigh things, or we do things to know that this is exactly what it is. In the Old Testament, they had a cubit, and they had a certain, this is what a cubit is, or they would weigh things on scales, and they would balance it on scales so that you get exactly what you want. This is what a cup of flour is, and you can't go, well, I made this cup, and so this is going to be my cup of flour. I don't care about your cup, because that's not the standard unit of measure. This is the one that we use to measure everything. Everything is measured against this one here. It's like when they go in and tell you it's free Icy's or free Slurpees for the day at 7-Eleven. And the people go in with like trash cans to fill it up. Like, you know that's not a cup, right? That's disgusting. But it's okay. You can do that. Well, they said it's free and I can just use whatever I drink out of. Like, you, do you drink coffee out of? Never mind. There's one standard unit of measure for, there's one standard unit of what a foot is. A foot isn't 12 and a half inches. A foot isn't 11 and three quarter inches. A foot is 12 inches. It's the standard unit of measure. When Jesus says he is the truth, he is the standard unit of measure that all other things that say they are truth have to line up against. Do they fit with the measurement of what truth is or not? Because if they're off, they're off. When Jesus says, I am the truth, that's it. I'm the truth. Everything else has to be measured up against me. And from the beginning of time, there really is a devil. You might not think so. He's not a little cute red thing that pops up on you here with an angel over here. There really is a devil, the enemy of God, the adversary of God, who from the beginning has been bent on undermining God's authority and his truth. Genesis chapter 3. Did God really say you shouldn't eat from that fruit? Challenge God's truth. Did God really say that? Come on. You're not going to die if you eat that fruit. Challenging God's truth. From the beginning of time, he's been set on challenging God's truth and humanity's ability and want to believe in God's truth. You don't have to believe that stuff. That's baloney. What happened when Adam and Eve ate the fruit? You're out of the garden. They ended up dying. Not immediately. It was like, but they did eventually. I know. Poor Brian. Why do we let Brian teach? Jesus is the truth. And the truth of God and the truth of Jesus is not meant to squash us. It's not meant for, to put us under thumb and to hold us down. Jesus in John chapter 8 says, let the truth set you free. That's what the truth of God really wants to do. Set us free. And I love how in Hebrews, the author of that says this, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Think about that for a minute. There's not a lot of things in the Bible that says there's something that is impossible for God to do. And yet here it is. It is impossible. It's not even possible. There's no, so you're saying there's a chance. There's not even a chance. There's no hint. It is impossible for God to lie. Why? Because he's the truth. He's the standard unit of measure for truth. If there's any hint of lying or deceit in him, he cannot be the standard unit of truth that we measure everything else up against. He's the way and he's the truth. I know I shared this story before, so some of you are going to have to sit through it again. You can close your eyes for a minute. The rest of you should listen. It's good. My friend Artie owned a boat, and he would go out to Catalina all the time from here. And one day he got in the boat, and it was just totally foggy. So he took his compass out and he set it down and he set out on his course to get to Catalina Island. And he's going through there and he's done it so many times. And as he's going, he's like looking at his watch. And you can't barely see. He couldn't even see out the doors like this. He's like, I should be getting close to the island right now. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why. Where is the island? I should be pulling into the harbor. I should see it. I should see lights. I should be there in like 2 or 3 minutes. But my compass is saying that's, you know, I'm going to follow my compass because my compass is true and it's telling me where true north is, and so I'm going to follow that. And so he kept going for another 20 or 25 minutes, and he's finally like, this, something is wrong, and he turned off his thing, and that's when he realized he was out in the shipping lanes and all the big ships were going by, all the cargo ships, and he completely missed the island and overshot the island because what he didn't realize is this trusty compass that tells him what true north is, he sat down to something that next to it, what had a magnet in it, and it pulled it off course just ever so slightly. So what he thought was truth what he thought was true north, more or less is good enough, right? Not if you're trying to hit an island, apparently, a big island. Like, he completely missed it because what he thought was truth wasn't truth. Jesus is the truth. He's the standard unit of measure for us. And if we want to get to the destination that God has for us, it's not a blend of his truth and our truth. It's his truth and his truth alone, because he's not a truth, he is the truth. Amen? And Jesus tells his disciples, guys, trust me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Well, how do we know that's true, Jesus? Because I am the truth. I will not lie to you. And I will take you there. And I love what Jesus says in John 16. In this world you will have many troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You know what that is right there? Truth. You will have burdens and you will have hardships. You will have pain. You will have suffering in this world. Jesus has overcome this world. He has gone to prepare a place for you. And when the time is right, he's going to come and take you home to be with him through an eternal life forever and ever. Amen? That, my friends, is truth. Truth that you can count on. It's not a truth more or less. It's not, I thought it was truth, but it got next to magnet and it got... It's true. Accurate. 100% true. A belief that brings relief is because God is the absolute truth for us. When he says he's the way, he will point us the correct way, because it's impossible for God to lie about that. Third thing is this, that Jesus is the life, and apart from Jesus, you and I are nothing. Like, wow, Pastor, like, thanks for the buildup. And what I mean is this, he's the life, he's the source of the life. God is the one that breathes life into us. In him we live and move and have our being, the Bible says. Without him, we wouldn't have breath. Without him, we wouldn't have life. 1 John says this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. What are you talking about, Pat? You might be listening online right now. You might be sitting here like, I know this whole Jesus thing is kind of cool, and I love coming to church and hanging out, but like, I don't necessarily believe in that, and I'm living right now, I'm breathing, everything's fine right now. So something's wrong with the whole truth package. Like, you're missing the life that God really has intended for you. But I like the life that I have right now, but you have no idea that the life he could truly give you. And it's not about this life. It's about the life that comes next, because God never created you just for this life. He's got an eternity for you. He goes to prepare a place for you. How are we going to get there? The narrow path. That's hard. But he'll take us there, amen? Job had a pretty hard time in life. At one point says this, in God's hand is the life of everything, every living thing, and the breath of all mankind. That God is a source of life for us. He is our everything. Whether you know that or not, he is our everything. Whether you believe in him or not, he sustains you and he holds you up, because he is God and God alone. He is life and life alone. He's an amazing God. When Jesus refers to himself being life, he is talking about not just this life, but the life that is to come. He's the one that will fulfill that for us. And apart from Jesus, you and I are left with nothing. Years ago, my friend Matt sent a thing out to my friends and I. And I think it was a joke, because it was pretty hilarious. But he said, hey, if you ever want to lose weight, there's a new diet that's going around. And what you do is if you have a desire to eat a certain food, you just draw that food on a piece of paper and that desire goes away. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Right? Does anyone in here believe that? That's why I'm like, that can't be true. I don't know if that was even on the internet or not. I don't know if he was just making a joke, but like, if you just draw the food on a piece of paper, the desire will go away and everything will be fine. And then you won't want to eat that food. I can tell you that it was months and months and months ago, like I drove by a donut store and I was just like, oh man, I don't eat donuts that often, but I could really go for a donut, like a Bear Claw or like an Old Fashioned bar, right? Just like, what's your favorite donut? Right. I mean, there's everything. There's glaze, there's maple, there's chocolate, all these things. But it's just like, oh, I could go for a donut. And my wife's like, don't give into it. Like, just let it go there. And for, like, for day one, day two, day three, I just let it sit there, and I didn't get a donut. Right? And I didn't get a donut for day four. 4 weeks later, I still wanted a donut, so I went and got a buttermilk bar because, you know, I didn't try drawing it on a piece of paper to see if that was, if, you know, if I, honey, if I would have drawn the donut on a piece of paper, I wouldn't have got it 4 weeks later, apparently. But there's no substitution for Jesus. Drawing a food on a piece of paper will not make you full. It will not satisfy your cravings. I believe each and every one of us is created by God for an eternal dwelling with Him. There's a longing in our souls to be there. And it's only going to be satisfied in Him. It's not going to be satisfied by drawing things on a piece of paper or chasing after empty things. Only in Christ is life found. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This morning I pray that you find joy, that you find freedom. Like the disciples, maybe you come in with burdens. Maybe you come in troubled. Maybe you come in with despair. And I want you to hear Jesus' words, let not your hearts be troubled. How, Jesus? Believe in God and believe in me. Well, how is that going to help me, Jesus? Because I am the way and I am the truth. And I am the life. And I have something far greater planned for you than you can ever imagine. Let me take your burdens. Let me take your troubles. Believe in me. Church, we believe in God this morning. Band, you can come on up. Or you can sit. We're going to go into communion in a second. There's a quote here by Thomas A. Kempis, a monk in the 1400s. And we'll put it up on the screen. And it says this: without the way, there is no going. And without the truth, there is no knowing. And without the life, there is no living. I am the way which thou must follow, the truth in which thou must believe, the life for which thou must hope. This is what Jesus invites us to come and be a part of. I'm going to wrap this up with a prayer, and then I'm going to jump on the guitar and just play some music. We're going to have a time of communion, and then we're going to sing a couple songs after that. Elders, after the time of communion, if you would be in back for people, just jump up if they want someone to pray with. Maybe there's just burdens going on in your life. Maybe there's a decision you want to make. Maybe you want to talk to somebody about baptism real quick. After communion, jump back there and let us just pray with you and talk with you and be with you. We're going to come to this table and celebrate Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life for us. That he gave his life so that we could be free from the burdens of our sin. Amen. He gave his life so that our hearts would not be troubled. This morning, as you come to the table, would you find life and truth in Jesus? Won't you pray with me? God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you are the God of salvation, that you, God, are the way, the truth, and the life. And although nobody comes to the Father but through you, at the same time, you completely invite us to come and follow you and surrender our wills to you. Lord, this morning, I pray that we find freedom in your truth. We find hope in your life. And we find great joy in following your one way. And God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.